Let's turn together in our Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, if you are visiting with us as a congregation, we have retaken up our series through the Gospel of Luke, the Beloved Physician. And we find Jesus Christ in the middle of his ministry. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, we looked at the parable of the Good Samaritan. This week, we're going to be reading the conclusion of Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to the end of the chapter. Luke chapter 10, this is found on page 1006. Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to it. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you were to make a list of everything that you need to do on a given day, even today, a list of everything you hope to accomplish, and you were to put them in order as the most important to the least important, what would surface? What would come to the top? Well, it's a principle of the business world that if you set out to accomplish the most important thing first, you will have a productive day. Keeping the first thing first, the most important thing, choosing to do what is of the highest priority, setting our hearts and accomplishing what must be done first. There are many things that can fill a given day. We're busy at work, we're busy with our families, our friends, we plan for our vacation, we plan for our retirement, our minds can be distracted, to say the least, and I venture that there are many mothers here today who feel like an event coordinator when it comes to trying to keep their children busy and entertained this summer. Well, today we find that Jesus Christ is going to refocus us in whatever our calling might be, mother or father, married or single, young or old, refocusing us on what is the most important thing. No matter what this next day or week might hold for you, there is one thing which is a priority, which is a necessity. In our context, 2 weeks ago, we saw with the parable of the Good Samaritan that Jesus instructs us to be active Christians. Active Christians that are sensitive and considerate. So that we see the needs of those who live in this world, that our hearts ache when we see the burdens and the abuse and the slavery and the bondage. And we do what we can to help our neighbor. Yes, we are called to truly love our neighbors. But today we find this balanced by the call to love God first. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That comes first. A call to active Christian service is balanced by the call to learn, to sit, to rest at Jesus' feet. For it's at the feet of Jesus that we grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. It's at the feet of Jesus that we learn how we are called to serve in this world in which we live. So today we see this theme that Jesus Christ instructs us to choose the better way and to sit at his feet. We need to know, we need to believe before we can go and do. Well, Luke begins our text by introducing two women, these sisters. We don't know who is the oldest or the youngest or the age difference here. But since we are introduced to Martha first, and it's Martha's home, we are led to believe that Martha was probably the older of these siblings, and we know there are three siblings. It's Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Mary and Martha and Lazarus as a trio are an important family in the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. They accompanied Jesus. They likely provided for Jesus. They financially supported him. And Lazarus, their brother, is well known in the Gospel of John as being one of the unique ones who experienced death and resurrection at the hand of Jesus Christ. And these sisters, Mary and Martha, are praised and celebrated throughout the ages of the church in their consistent hope, their trust, their dependence in Jesus Christ, even when their brother had died, knowing that Jesus Christ had the power of the resurrection in his hand. It is these sisters who even were with Jesus after he rose from the dead. But as prominent and blessed as these women are in being in the fellowship and company of Jesus Christ, that doesn't mean they had here in the middle of Jesus' ministry had everything figured out. They were good. They were godly women. But they weren't perfect. So our text begins with Mary. In verse 39, Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. Now, sitting at the feet of the Master was the proper position, the posture of a disciple. And during this short, roughly three-year ministry of Jesus Christ, this public ministry, Mary is drinking long at the water of life, at the fount and source of everlasting life. She is feeding her soul as much as she can with this life-giving bread. Every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord was welcomed and cherished by this dear younger sister. She had a quiet submission, and Luke praises her. Jesus praises her. It would be like many godly women we find today in the church who delight in hearing God's word proclaimed, taking sermon notes, meditating upon God's word, growing in grace and knowledge of the truth, delighting in this heavenly manna, which is the word of the Lord. Mary typifies the heart of a Christian who submits, listens, and believes the words that Jesus Christ spoke. She is truly hearing and listening. She is not like the scribes and the Pharisees who, hearing, do not hear. She is getting this. She would say, as Psalm 119 says, "How I love your law. Your word to me is better than gold and silver. Above all else, how I love your precepts, for they are right. In your word I find joy. On your word I meditate day and night." That is Mary. But there's another sister, Martha. Martha is not sitting and feeding. She is standing and going. She's running back and forth to get everything ready. Verse 38, as our text opens, we find Martha opening her home to Jesus Christ. And this is a commendable thing. God's people are called to show hospitality. And here, Martha, recognizing the greatness of Jesus Christ, her master, is doing everything she can. It's not every day you can welcome the Son of Man into your home. This is a cause for celebration. And as you know, every celebration must have a feast. So she is busy, verse 40 says. She is even so busy she's distracted. We all know that it takes much longer to prepare a meal than to consume that meal. She is busy getting the bread and the meat and the vegetables and the wine. She's pulled in 1,000 directions. She's overseeing all the other servants that may be in the home, providing for all those who had been gathered there. And there was likely a sizable group. We don't know how many, but it says as Jesus and his disciples. So we're talking somewhere in the maybe 20. I mean, you can imagine having 20 people into your home, and it takes a lot of work to provide for them so that they can sit down and be refreshed. She tries to listen, but she's distracted. The mind says, the passage here says that her mind is pulled in many different directions. So we can see Martha overhearing some of the words that Jesus says. She's trying to hear, but then she gets something else comes into her mind. She's distracted. Oh, I forgot about this. And she has to rush out of the room to take care of this and to take care of that. How many people are going to be sitting here? How am I going to feed these people? How is the meat being prepared? Are the vegetables cooked? What about the place settings? Have the forks been set on the correct side of the plate? We can imagine a host of things that would have needed to be done. But we can sometimes be like Martha as well. I venture to say that at this very moment, there are Marthas sitting here. A Martha, the Martha syndrome, is one who is in the context of the word, but is distracted, so that they're not fully benefiting from that word. I venture to say there are some here this morning who are like Martha, distracted in their minds, thinking about what needs to take place, thinking about the meal that may be coming up in a few hours, thinking about vacation that could be coming up next week, thinking about everything that needs to get done in this next week of work. Your mind is pulled in many different directions, and you are distracted so that you are missing out on the feast that is to be had. Martha is the distracted disciple, so that she is, as verse 41 says, filled with anxiety. She is anxious. The word here in the Greek is merimones, which means filled with cares and concerns. Her mind is welled up with worry. This very same word is used by Jesus in Matthew 6, verse 28. That's on the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, "Those who are concerned with clothing and food, worried about what we will eat and what we will wear." That's Martha's mind, filled up with care of the things that we wear, the things that we eat, the things that we need to do. She is also troubled, verse 41 continues. She is stirred like violent water. The Greek word is throbatso, which is the word that you would describe water going over the rapids. She is troubled so that her mind is rocked like a rapid and stirred. Her heart is a tumult like troubled water. Trying to get everything ready, trying to keep everything straight, she is pushed to the brink so that she lashes out. She comes to Jesus in verse 40 and says this, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work by myself? Tell her to help me." She says to Jesus, "Jesus, don't you care about me?" She lashes out at Jesus, and she lashes out at her sister. "Doesn't anybody care about the work that I need to do?" Bitter words to those who in her estimation are not doing enough work. Now, to be fair, I mean, we can put ourselves in Martha's situation here. It is easy for those who are active in the kingdom to complain about those who they judge to be less active. Why doesn't this family or this individual do more work for Christ and his kingdom? Why is it that the 20% have to do 80% of the work? As you know, it's easy to complain about others who you judge are not doing enough. We can all be divided and distracted, so that cares and concerns, anxieties and troubles fill our mind, and we miss the forest because we're focusing on the trees. Martha wants to do something good. It is commendable. She invites the master into her home. She desires to feed this group, this throng of people that has come. She wants to be a gracious host. She's trying to do right, but in doing so, she is missing the opportunity to grow in faith. It would be, to put it in today's context, like a loving wife and mother inviting a family into their home on the Sabbath day, showing hospitality, which is wonderful. I commend the congregation to do that. But in spending so much time preparing and entertaining this family that you have invited into your home, you never actually fellowship with the family you have invited into your home. You're so anxious, so concerned. Do they like the meat that is prepared? Are the vegetables seasoned correctly? Are the napkins folded properly? So that you miss out in the benefit and blessing. Or another example would be like a pastor who spends his entire week doing good things like visiting and calling and writing correspondence and chairing meetings, but so busy doing good things, they neglect the better, the greater things, so that he never reads his Bible and spends little time in prayer. Busy with all sorts of good stuff and never sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. Every one of us here can fill in the blank. We can fill our days with things that are good, that are commendable. We can even fill the Lord's day today with things that are good, but all the while neglecting what is the most important. We neglect to sit at the feet of our master to be fed by the hand of the good shepherd. Sometimes Martha will need to learn it's better to serve a simple sandwich, so that we don't miss out in the feast that is truly to be had. If we focus on what is really important. Well, in order to reorient Martha, Jesus gives a gentle, loving rebuke in 41. And you find this when Jesus repeats someone's name. It's a loving, endearing term, but it's also a rebuke that Jesus is giving. Martha, Martha, dear daughter of mine, you are busy with many things, and these things may be commendable, but in the process, you have overlooked the most important thing. Your sister Martha has made the better choice. The meal can wait. You should be sitting at my feet. There is more important food to be had, Martha. The bread of life. For man does not live on the bread that you are preparing, but man lives from the words that are coming from my mouth, Jesus could say. Mary had chosen what was needed. Verse 42 says, one thing is needed, one thing is necessary, one thing is primary. The primary duty of every Christian is to be a good disciple of Jesus Christ. To sit at his feet to hear his word, to listen to the voice of the good shepherd. That needs to be our primary duty and goal every day. To love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when we keep that first, the cares and concerns of this world will be put in their proper place. It's sad that when we are so busy with our normal duties, that we neglect what is most important, to give our greatest, our highest, most expensive, giving our first fruits to the Lord. Not giving him the leftovers, not giving him half an ear or half a mind, but sitting at his feet with raptured attention. That's the good part that Mary had chosen. Mary could say, as we read from Psalm 16, "The Lord is my portion and my cup. He is my inheritance. He is my greatest joy." To know him, to fellowship with him, is to have the highest good, because we know that faith comes by hearing the word, and that word proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing the gospel and it proclaimed. Eternal life is found when you sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. And in sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, he will teach you what you need to do. But first you need to sit and listen. As 2 Timothy 3 says, "His words are useful for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, that we might be fully equipped and mature." We can fill our lives with lots of good things, good projects, helpful works, but we can sometimes lack the energy, the focus, the decision. I mean, this is a decision that Mary had to make. Jesus says Mary has chosen the better way, the needed path which leads to true growth and spiritual life and maturity. This is the good portion that Mary had chosen, and the Lord would not take that away from her. To choose fellowship with Jesus Christ is to choose the healing balm of Gilead, the dew of Hermon falling on Mount Zion that refreshes and restores weary souls. In the midst of all the busyness of life, there's many studies that say we are perhaps the busiest time. We live in the busiest time, the busiest generations. We have so many distractions. This thing is buzzing over here. This thing is blinking over here. This thing needs to be attended to. We're losing focus. We're distracted. We're anxious. We're troubled. Jesus says to us, "Come, sit at my feet, learn the way of life, and receive rest for your weary souls. Come, you who are weary and heavy laden, come sit at the feet of your master and find peace." And for those who look to him with faith, as Jesus said to Mary, about Mary, "This will not be taken away." When you sit at the feet of Jesus Christ, you have a peace that cannot be taken away. A refreshment that will never end. To conclude, our passage, when we compare it, when we put it in its context, it's balancing what we considered a few weeks ago. We can, as Christians, we need both. We need to be active in the life, like the Good Samaritan, active in the life of serving the community, serving our neighbors, giving our lives for the good of those whom God has placed before us, but never at the expense of sitting at the feet of your good shepherd. Yes and amen. Love your neighbor as yourself, but love the Lord your God first with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. A thriving relationship with the Lord is built on fellowship. Our busy lives are full of trees. Step back and see the forest. Who are you? Who is Jesus Christ to you? Being busy with the good, we can sometimes miss the best. Getting ready for the meal, Martha was missing the feast. Jesus loves the Marthas of our church and gently rebukes them today. Martha, Martha, come sit. It's time for you to sit. It's time for you to sit at the feet of the Master and to be fed, to be nourished, to find rest. Psalm 27 says this, "One thing I desire, this is what I ask, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord, to gaze upon His beauty all the days of my life." May we never neglect the call to sit at the feet of our good shepherd, our Master. May we never be too busy, too anxious, too distracted to learn, to be discipled, and to be blessed. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the word of life that proceeds from His lips. We thank you for the rest that He gives, that He feeds us with solid food which builds us, which matures us. He feeds us with that pure milk which gives life. Oh Lord, we pray that we would never be too distracted to miss the feast that you have prepared for us. May our hearts be singular in focus in being a good disciple sitting at the feet of our Master, in whose name we pray. Amen.